So we've done a couple of projects actually in South Sudan. The first one was late 2012, and then the second one was early 2016.
When you say projects in South Sudan, what does that entail?
We've basically designed and built two containerized power stations that essentially were designed and constructed here in Launceston, and then packed up in shipping containers and sent over to site where we set them up on site.
What sort of things are you powering with that?
So the last project we did was for a hospital in Nzara, which is a small remote town in probably one of the hardest places in the world. The hospital was originally set up to treat patients with HIV, AIDS, tuberculosis and leprosy, actually. And it's a hospital that can sleep 130 beds, and they treat up to 300 patients a day.
Wow, so it's quite a busy hospital then.
Yeah, well, potentially, absolutely. And you try to imagine running a hospital like that without reliable power. So basically, before this system went in, they had a backup generator that was there to try to take most of the load. They had some batteries there, but they were fairly ordinary. So most of the time, they actually didn't have power. And when we were actually on site installing the system, there wasn't actually any diesel in the area because of the civil war. It's quite devastating what civil war can actually do, and I got to see that firsthand. We arrived there and half the shops were empty. There was nothing in the town, and it was because the UPDF had closed off the roads in, so no supplies could get in, and no diesel could get in, so then they can't fuel up the generator and they run out of power. So it was just an amazing sort of thing to see that what this system could do to that community and that place to be able to provide some reliable power.
We'll come back to what it was like, I guess, working in what was essentially, it sounds like, a conflict zone in a moment. But if we go back to the beginning first, so 2012 is when you did your first project, but I'm assuming the work for it started before that. How did you come to start doing this in the first place?
Oh, I guess it's something I've always been really passionate about. My business here in Launceston is obviously focused around renewables and solar, both for, you know, mum and dad homes through to off-grid systems through to these larger off-grid power stations. And something I've always been really passionate about is to be able to use what I would say state-of-the-art technology, first world technology, and an emerging industry. The solar renewable energy industry is going 100 miles an hour. And to be able to use that technology and to be able to use our capability and our design to be able to apply those things in such a hostile and, I guess, such a needy context. So that's something that's always been part of me. And then to get the opportunity to be able to apply it in this way has actually been a real privilege and a real opportunity to be able to serve in that way. So I guess that's what started it off. And then we did the first project, which was, compared to the second project, fairly small, but at the time seemed huge. And then I guess that rolled on to this second project that I guess fed out of the first project, but it was for a different organisation. And I still remember actually the doctor, Dr. Danny Doyle. He works in Melbourne, and he'd been to South Sudan a few times at this particular hospital in Nzara, and obviously identified that they needed some reliable power, and he had this massive vision to transform the hospital and to be able to get internet services on, to be able to get x-ray in, to be able to put an operating theatre in. Massive vision, massive dream. But he realised that the first thing they needed was actually reliable power, because you can't do any of that unless you've got some level of reliability as far as power goes. So he'd found out about this first project we did. So he rang me up one day and explained who he was and said, oh, can we can we catch up for a bit of a chat? I said, yeah, sure, absolutely. Something I'm really keen to do another one of, and blah, blah, blah. And I headed over to Melbourne and had a meeting with him and a few other people. And it was this really, really, really rich time of sharing stories about our experiences in South Sudan. Him as a doctor from a medical slant, and myself as an electrician from a technical slant, and seeing the acute need to have, you know, not only electricity, but just, you know, running water and just basic services, buildings, and, you know, the whole deal, you know, so from two different levels. And we had this really rich time. And then right at the end, he said, well, what do you reckon? Do you reckon we can build a power station for this hospital? I said, oh, I reckon we can. And he said, righto, let's do it. You know, and that was as far as it, that was the beginning of it. And I think looking back now, I think if both of us knew what was ahead, I don't think we would have done it. And I think, and then also looking back, thinking this guy didn't know me from a bar of soap, and to put basically all his eggs in one basket and, you know, back one horse and say, righto, you're the man for the job, was, I guess, looking back now, fairly humbling, but also fairly bold of him to sort of, you know, put himself out there. So, yeah, I guess that was the start.
In 2012, how did you come to South Sudan? What prompted that connection with that particular country?
Yeah. So some good friends of ours from church, Graham and Linda Poole, they moved over there as a missionary family. Graham was a doctor, and they moved there as a family to convert a medical clinic into a more functional hospital. So part of that conversation and part of that journey, we obviously got to share with them because we were good friends with them, and we were just sitting down one night sort of talking through, you know, the differences and what they were actually going to do. And we got talking about power, and I said, well, what are you going to do? Like, you know, if you want to run a hospital, you need something more than nothing. And so that started the conversation, and it actually turned out to be a really amazing community project, where Graham did a lot of the, I guess, promotion for the project and promotion for the hospital. And we raised, I think we raised like $80,000 cash from local community groups, churches, individuals, businesses, and a lot of donated materials. Some of our suppliers donated materials. And I think Graham, we went round to some various different hospitals and collected a heap of medical equipment as well. And then together, all the whole lot got stuck together in a couple of containers and shipped over. And they'd moved over there as a family and settled in. And then I came over 3 months later and spent a month over there with them. And we set up the power station and set everything up, and away we went.
So that first time when you arrived in South Sudan, what were you expecting?
Well, I've been to some third world countries before, so I had half an expectation, but you just never know, and it's often the hardest thing to put into words what you experience and what you see in a context like that. But I still remember landing, so we're in a 9-seater plane, and landing in Yay, where these guys were working, and so you're landing on a dirt pitted runway, and airplane stops and pulls up, and we get out, and pretty much all there is this little shed, and that's about it, a shed. And then I'm sort of thinking, okay, so where are we? And then there's this sort of four-wheel drive bus comes out around the corner, around, you know, down this dirt track, and there's Graham coming to pick me up in the four-wheel drive, and off we went. And, you know, you just drive, you drive along, and you've got to imagine a four-wheel drive track, basically. And then, you know, dotted through the bush, you see lots of little huts where people are living. And, you know, I remember going through the main town of Yay and just seeing piles of rubbish piled up at the end of one of the streets because they don't have a rubbish system, so it all just sort of ends up on the street and all just sort of gets piled up at one end. And, you know, just the smells and, you know, there's these contrasts of like I said, rubbish, but then there's also these beautiful markets, you know, where people are selling their, you know, their fruit and veggies and whatever they've got to sell. And, you know, some people might only have 3 or 4 bits of fruit that they're selling for the day, but that's all they need to sell because then they can buy rice and then they can cook dinner and then they can live. So I guess it's this acute idea that people just, they live to survive, and that's it. You know, that's their life. Their life is surviving, and that's what they do.